Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation with sorrow, we announce the passing of Brinley Mira Brayman. We read in the Word of God in 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Congregation, we will continue with the singing of Psalter 281, all four stanzas. Mindful of our human frailty is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. 281, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in Psalm 78, and we will read 1 through 24. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and their fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this, and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, this morning we especially wish to remember in prayer Joanna and Devin and the mourning family. Let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou hast spoken again. In the past week, some have stood around an open grave, and now again thou hast spoken. Yesterday night, thou hast taken out of this life, a tiny little life. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would sanctify this calling, all these callings that come unto us through thy word, but also through the acts of thy providence. Lord, death has entered into a home, and we beg and pray thee that thou would remember Devin and Joanna, the grandparents and the family. Oh Lord, we beg thee that thou would give that only comfort in life and in death. Lord, we as men, as people, are miserable comforters, but thou art that God of all comfort that we read in thy word. Oh, may we beg thee then that thou would uphold them, this young couple, married only for several months, and now have to also go. In this week, to stand around an open grave, Lord, uphold them, care for them, and bless thy word. Give a word to speak, Lord, and that they may hear, that the family may hear, and that this calling in thy word may be sanctified, blessed by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that the end, that it all may be to the glory of thy great name. May it be that the death of one may be the spiritual life of others. May it be many, Lord. Lord, we beg thee then, do above all that we can think and ask, and give grace also in these deep ways to follow thee, to obey thee, to surrender all to thee, to that almighty, sovereign Lord God of heaven and of earth, who makes no mistakes, who is faithful, wise, and ever good. Lord, we beg thee then, give grace and look upon us in mercy. And may we feel it in this morning. Why are we still in the land of the living? It's thy mercy, it's thy long-suffering patience, that again we may enter into thy house to hear thy word, to hear law and gospel, but also to see the visible gospel through the sacrament of baptism. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thou would come in our midst. Thou hast said where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in their midst. Come, Lord, with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. Renew hearts. Open spiritually deaf ears, spiritually blind eyes, enlighten darkened minds, and renew hearts. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, for the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. Do not pass us by. There's nothing in us. We come before thee as a polluted, sinful, guilty people, and thou can righteously pass us by. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast said in thy name, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Come, Lord. May there be food and drink for poor and needy sinners. Thou knowest those who have come with hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God. Thou knowest those who have come with a load of guilt and sin and iniquities. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then through thy word and the sacrament, that there may be that blessing upon that only way of salvation in thee through thy dear Son, by the blessing and the application of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. Remember widows, those who have lost children, siblings, a brother, sister, or other relatives, a friend. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember also all those who are sick. Many have been in the hospital, and yet it's in thy mercy they could return home. May we see it, may we feel it, that their announcement was not also included in this mourning with their name also, but that they could come home, that their life was yet spared and extended. Give broken and thankful hearts, Lord. And we pray that thou would then also remember the parents who will have their children baptized. Lord, give them also what they must promise, grace to promise, and grace to live according to that promise that they make before thee. Remember us all as parents, as we will receive also instruction from thy precious word. Oh, we must confess all our sins as mothers, as fathers, as grandparents, office bearers, single ones. Lord, we all stand polluted. We're all guilty. Oh, we beg thee then show us that all atoning blood that is pictured, illustrated through that water in baptism, that blood of the Lamb of God, that has the power to cleanse from all sin. Lord, remember those who long to have children, and yet thou hast not blessed the means, care for them. Remember them. Remember single ones who would also love to have children and cannot. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou knowest the crosses, the cares, the needs, the sorrows. Oh, we beg thee for thy grace, Lord, because by nature we only rebel. We're enemies by nature. We need to be renewed, and we need thy daily grace to surrender with our whole hearts unto thee, to look up unto thee, and to follow thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that come among us in this morning. Give opening to preach, opening to hear. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Pass us not by. Have mercy upon us because of him who sits at thy right hand, thy only beloved Son, in him whom thou hast said, I am well pleased. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that through his righteousness, through his blood, that thou would bless us. Work mightily, Lord. Thou art the same God who has saved 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. Thou hast the same power, the same might, the same grace. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, that thou would remember the whole congregation and all the visitors who may be gathered with us in this morning and all who are listening along. Lord, may we beg thee that thou would help all thy servants throughout the entire world. Give faithfulness. Give that thou would lead and guide and teach by thy Spirit, that we may instruct others, that we may remain in ourselves sons of men, that we may be at thy feet to be instructed by thee. Oh, give faithfulness to proclaim the full counsel of God. We beg and ask thee to remember those who are sick, thy servants. We think again especially of Reverend Verhoef. Bless the means for his body and spare him. Remember others who are getting older and experiencing the breaking down of the body and the mind. And Lord, we may give thee thanks in this morning that in the Netherlands thou hast provided 3 men to be able to enter into the theological school to be instructed and at thy time to be sent out. Oh, we beg thee, help them then. But remember us also, thy church here in North America. Lord, there are so many vacant congregations also in our denomination. Oh, we beg thee, wilt thou thrust out men? Call men with thy grace, and that they may feel it. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, and that they must come forward, and that thou would open doors and gladden us with thy deeds. Lord, we deserve nothing, but we beg thee for thy name's sake, for the coming generation, that they may hear through the preaching, the live preaching, the praises of the Lord, his strength, and the wonderful works of God, that they may set their hope in thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would remember also the theological instructors and the student. As soon he will also receive exams, help him through, Lord, and bless, that at time he also may be sent out. And so, Lord, we lay these needs before thee. Lord, look upon us. Through thy dear Son, gather with us, answer us, and bless us with those blessings that thou alone can give us. We pray in the forgiveness of our many sins, and may we ask it in that only name of that Redeemer, of that Mediator, of that only Savior of sinners, in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, now we will read the form for the administration of baptism. You can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembled of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thy infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Parents, may I ask you to please rise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. And therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when they come to the years of discretion, where you are parents, to instruct them and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Mother Adams, what is your answer? Father Adams. Mother Vinesh, what is your answer? Father Vinesh. Father Stubby. Mother Stubby. Parents, what an answer. The Lord has heard your answer. And the Lord has heard all of our answers. Fathers, mothers that had our children baptized, he heard it. He heard your yes. What you have promised to do to the utmost of your power. And I hope you feel in your hearts that you need grace every day to also fulfill what thou hast promised, what you have promised to the Lord. And I hope you feel in your own hearts and souls what you have heard, what your children need. They need to be born again. They need to be covered and washed by the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you feel it for your own hearts and your own souls, because then we really see the need of our own dear children. And may the Lord richly bless his word in your homes, that you may be faithful fathers, which we will hear from the word of God instruction for fathers, that you may be faithful to proclaim to them, open the word of God in your homes, fathers. Yes, all fathers, not just these fathers, and myself included. And that the Lord would bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I also want you to think of something else this morning. Why may you stand here with your child? It's the Lord's mercies. Devin and Joanna cannot bring their child to be baptized. The Lord has spoken. He's taken their child away. And yet, what a mercy, what a goodness that you may have your children yet. May it be sanctified. May the Lord bless the calling to you and to all of us, congregation. And so now, before the administration of the sacrament of baptism, we will sing from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. And then will be the administration of the sacrament of baptism. And after the amen of baptism, we will sing standing, Psalter 425, verse 5. So now, 289, 2 and 3, and after baptism, 425, verse 5. Leo Brandon, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mason John, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jackson Troy, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Zachary McKenzie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of the beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Congregation, let us sing now together from Psalter 2:13. Psalter 2:13, the first four stanzas. My people, give ear, attend to my word, and parables, new deep truths, shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. Psalter 2:13, stanzas 1 through 4, and the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the school contribution target. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, Psalm 78 is a historical psalm. It's the history of God's people, the history of God's church. And it was written for instruction. Instruction for us today to learn from the past and to teach them who follow us for the future. It's about instruction. And the first 8 verses are a preface or an introduction to the whole psalm to give its intended purpose. And this morning we will specifically meditate upon verses 4 through 8. And so I'd like to call your attention this morning to Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8, where we read in the Word of God, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." So these verses in the introduction to the psalm, we read of a divine command with a divine purpose. God commands a certain group of people to instruct another group of people for a specific purpose. God commands fathers to instruct their children that their children may set their hope in God and keep his commandments. And so the theme this morning is God's command to fathers. God's command to fathers. 2 thoughts. First, both are questions. What does God command fathers to do? Or may I say it directly, fathers, and myself included, what does God command you and I to do? And we see this especially in verse 5, which he commanded our fathers. And our second question, our second thought is, why does God command fathers to do this? Or I could say, fathers, why does God command you and I to do this? And then, especially verse 7, that they, referring to the children, might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So the theme, God's command to fathers. What does God command fathers to do, and why does God command fathers to do this? We read in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." The poet's heart is overflowing, and he's writing, and he wants others to hear what he has in his heart by God's grace. His heart is overflowing, and he has a desire to speak. He wants to speak all about God, all about God's glory. He wants others to hear, that others would put their hope in him, and others would worship that most worthy, holy God of heaven and earth, and that they would trust only in him. He wants to exalt, if you could read the psalm again at home, the long-suffering, merciful goodness of God to absolute, unworthy sinners. He desires to exalt the covenant faithfulness of Jehovah. And we read in verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." What does this mean? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself also spoke in parables, as we read, for example, in Matthew 13, verse 35. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. It's about revealing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Deep and precious, glorious truths all about God. About his kingdom. About who he is. And about his way of salvation. How did the Lord Jesus Christ know these things? Well, you say he's God. Well, I want to read something to you from the word of God, which Jesus himself said. His Father revealed them to him. Because he said, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So God's Son was taught by his Father to speak, to share these things. Beautiful. But how did the poet know these things? How did he know these glorious, deep truths? Well, we read in verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So he's saying, the reason I know these things is because our fathers told me, and by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, I received them. He's saying everything he knows is because those fathers that lived at his time told him about those glorious truths. And then we read in verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What does that mean? Is this the command, a testimony in Jacob, law in Israel? Is that the command? No, it's a command to speak about these things. What did Israel have that none of those other neighboring countries or nations had? They had all the blessings of God. I would say it very short. They had the law and the gospel. The testimony of God, which the other nations didn't have. And they were called to speak of these things, to be a light in the dark world, to share, to speak. To speak not only about the law, but also the gospel of that only hope and that only Savior, that Messiah that would come. So the other nations, yes, the other nations also would hear and come to know that only God of heaven and earth, to worship him, to adore him. Psalm 67, oh, that the nations would know thee, worship thee. Fathers are commanded to speak. And now we see in this first verse, as we hear the word father, what does that refer to? Well, that's a wide meaning. In that time, it could speak of the priests, the kings, the rabbis, parents. But let's come to our time. It also can speak of office bearers, elders, deacons. It can speak of teachers. It can speak of grandparents. But let's come a little closer. It speaks also of mothers and fathers. And this morning, I especially want to focus on fathers. I'm a father, and there's fathers here. There's a message from God's words. God commands fathers to speak, to talk to the coming generation, from generation to generation. It's till the end of the world, because we read 3 or 4 times in this chapter about generations, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. And so Psalm 78 is a historical psalm to be spoken of the wonderful works of God, the histories to be shared from one generation to another generation. And in these verses, we read about the great sins of the covenant people of Israel. And we read about the great mercy of God. But I would like to sum it up in a different way. We see the absolute unfaithfulness of wretched sinners, and the immovable faithfulness of the covenant-keeping Jehovah. And that's what is also relayed in the sacrament of baptism. It's not about the parents. It's not about the children. It's about God. If it's a covenant-keeping God, that he is able to save, that he's willing to save, and he shall save his people in spite of all their sins and all their iniquities. And he will have a people who will eternally praise and glorify him on the merits of his dear Son. And this psalm ends with God providing a man after his own heart, a servant, David, a king, to guide the people. But he's a picture of whom? Of the Son of David, of Jesus Christ, to lead his people, to lead them to that eternal home. God, that triune God, works sovereignly, freely, irresistibly, and saves unworthy sinners. How? Well, you say it's by free grace. Absolutely. Very true. How? By the work of the Spirit. True. But he uses means, congregation. He uses means. What means? His word, his precious word, the word of God, the gospel, the history of Jesus Christ. And parents, we heard it again. These parents made a promise. And I made this promise 5 times. And do you, fathers, you also, mothers, you made this promise. Let's listen to it again. Whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And I answered yes, and you did. This morning, fathers, and I preached to myself too, I want to talk to you. No, God wants to talk to you. The Lord wants to talk to you through his word. You are commanded to speak to your children. Does this happen in your home? Children, do your fathers speak to you? Do they read the word of God? Do they open it and say, children, listen. We're going to read the word of God together. We're going to read the histories together. No, not just at mealtimes as a custom and to just close the Bible and you're done for the day. No. Take time for family worship, fathers. Yes, it's your great responsibility. You are called to be the prophet, the priest, and the king in the home. God has given you children. And listen closely, in a way they are his children. Because he has separated them from the world. He says, I want to pay so much attention to these children. And he has placed them in your homes. In a Christian home. And you are called to speak. God commands us as fathers to speak the Almighty Jehovah. Yes, we are commanded to speak to our children from generation to generation. There's a father, he cannot speak to his daughter anymore. He cannot. There's grandfathers who cannot speak to their children anymore. Why? Because the Lord has taken away. You still have your children. I still have my children. We need to open our mouths. We need to speak. To speak for the glory of God. About what? Well, we could speak about the whole Bible. But this morning, we're going to focus on a few things that you could see in the Bible in Psalm 78, verse 4. Look in your Bible, please. In Psalm 78, verse 4, we will see 3 things. That as fathers, we're commanded to speak to our children. First, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works. We will consider each one of these things for a few moments. We need to teach them. We need to speak them. The praises of the Lord. What does that mean? We need to teach them to sing. Singing is good, but that's not what it refers to. What does it mean to teach them the praises of the Lord? We need to tell them about the covenant God. We need to speak about his name of the triune God. Tell them about the name they have received on their foreheads. Of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. God has attached his name to their heads. And now, who is that God? Who is that God? That Almighty God of heaven and of earth? That triune God? Well, who can explain who he is? No sinner. And that's not sufficient for one sermon. And yet, he reveals himself in his word about his attributes. God reveals himself, who he is, his essence, and his attributes, his characteristics, his excellencies. And we must speak about all of them, not some. Not just about his wrath and his justice. No, and not just about his mercy and grace. No, all of them. That our children, your children, Father, may, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, through the means, through the word, may come to know and have a right understanding of the great and glorious Almighty God of heaven and of earth, who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We must speak about his majesty, of his glory, of his justice, of his wrath, of his goodness, of his truth, of his grace, of his mercy, of his faithfulness. We must speak about it all pieces, all parts of his attributes. But teach them these attributes especially by the only way that that Almighty God can be known. How? Through the express image, through his Son. God reveals himself, that Almighty God reveals himself in his word through his Son. So when you think of his justice, tell your children that they're sinful wretches, and God is a God of justice, and it must be satisfied. Otherwise, child, you will go forever lost, and God is just. But also tell them, fathers, tell them of the justice that is satisfied in that sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. Tell them of his majesty. Open the word of God. For example, and I read Isaiah chapter 6, a little glimpse of the glory, or revelations of the glory. Speak to them of the majesty and say that majestic God is so pure. He cannot look upon you, my child, and he cannot look upon me because we're sin. He's too pure. But tell them of the only way that he could ever look upon them, no, not only in wrath, but in favor, through his Son, his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Tell them about his righteousness, that he created you, child, in righteousness, but we rebelled. We became unrighteous, and God still has the right to demand righteousness. And tell them, the word of God says there's none righteous. Child, my son, my daughter, you're not righteous. I'm not righteous. And God says we must be righteous, and he has the demand. But show them, open the word of God. And with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, show them that beautiful name of him who is the Lord, our righteousness, that he has a righteousness to cover unrighteous ones, wicked ones, sinful ones. Tell them that an Almighty God will by no means clear the guilty. And children, we're guilty. Children, do you hear this from your father? I'm afraid some families don't speak much. That's pain, fathers. That's pain. It's pain as your pastor. But that's nothing compared to that Almighty God in the heaven and earth that sees how you live in your homes. And he sees he has given you children. He sees that he has separated you. And he poured all these blessings upon you. And you don't open the word with your children and speak to them. That's pain. And then to die and to stand before that Almighty God and have to say, never open the word with my children. Never. To go forever lost. What guilt? That worm will gnaw in your conscience to eternity. Speak also of its mercy. That there's a God who is infinite, holy, righteous, just, but who delighteth in mercy. Mercy for unworthy ones. Why? Because his Son came and he made himself to be sin who knew no sin,
that God, that Almighty God, those arms could be opened to be merciful to vile sinners, wretched sinners. Speak about grace, that there's an abundance of grace to be able to save to the uttermost the chiefest of sinners, and say, children, we're the chief of sinners. That's where the Lord leads us. Are your children the chief of sinners? Are you fathers the chief of sinners? Tell them about the abundance of grace in the blood of Jesus Christ. Tell them. Tell them as a father that you're not faithful. Be honest with them. Tell them who you are. They may hear it. Tell them that you need mercy. Tell them that you're unrighteous. Tell them that you need mercy. Tell them that you grace. Tell them that you're not a faithful father as you should be. But point to that only faithful Father, that Almighty One, who will never lie, who will never abandon, who will never deceive His dear, beloved children. Why? Because His covenant promises are sealed in the blood of the Lamb of His Son. And so, a few words about speak of the praises of the Lord. And may the Lord bless it, that the hearts of her children may then truly sing praises to Him. And what's the second thing? His strength. Tell them that you're a weak father. Tell them of that one, that faithful Father, who's almighty, who has power to save the most hardened, wicked, wretched, dead son and daughter. Tell them that He has the ability. Tell them that He's willing. Open the Bible. Show them all His attributes, but show them also that attribute of His strength. Strength. Tell them the full counsel of God. I once had a mother come to me a long time ago after the service, and she said, "Student, I want you to tell my children to go to Jesus. I want you to tell my children, they need to hear it. Tell them every service, children, you need to go to Jesus." And I said, "That's what you want me to tell them?" "Yes. Yes, please, tell them every service." And I said then, "You really mean that?" "Yes." I said, "Then go home and tell them. Tell them how holy and great and infinite holy God is. And tell them through the word of God how absolutely sinful and wretched they are." And then she interrupted me. She said, "That doesn't help." I said to her, "Do you encourage your children to go to a cancer doctor?" She said, "No, that's foolishness. They don't have cancer." I said, "Are you sure? Maybe they do." "Yes, we must speak of all things. Yes, those arms are open to receive the chiefest of sinners. We must proclaim it. But Jesus Christ Himself, in that beautiful example in John 4, He proclaimed the gospel to that woman. And she heard it. She wasn't thirsty at all. But then He used the law to make her thirsty, to convict her of sin. We must speak all the counsel of God. All of it. About hell and heaven, sin and salvation. And we must proclaim the precious gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world to save the chiefest of sinners. And that God has laid help upon one that is mighty, mighty to save. And your children and my children need one who is mighty to save. He has strength. He has might to save rebellious teenagers that come to church but only want to go home and live the rest of the week according to their own lusts of their flesh. He has strength to save old, hardened sinners who may be able to speak about all the doctrines, who may say, "That's not a good sermon, this is a good sermon," but their hearts are still so dead. He has power to save strange sinners. Parents, do you have some strange sons and daughters that don't come under the truth anywhere anymore? He has power, this one, Almighty God. He has strength. May the Lord richly bless the preaching of law and gospel. and that the Lord would bless it, the praises of the Lord and his strength. And now his wonderful works. His wonderful works. Fathers, open the Bible. Show your children through the histories of the wonderful works of God. Open the Bible, for example, to Genesis 1 and show them about creation, that the Almighty God, that Triune God, has made them in his image. Take them to Genesis 3, for example. Show them of the wonderful works of God. That man sinned. His wonderful works of wrath. And he was cast out. Show them the history of Sodom and Gomorrah. Show them how he cast out also his covenant people Israel and brought them into captivity because of their sin and rebellion. Speak to them of the wonderful works of deliverance. Take them to the histories of the Bible. Show them who God is and through his Son, Jesus Christ. Show them that ark that's a picture of Christ. Show them of Exodus 12, of the Passover lamb that speaks of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Speak to them of the need of recreation. Take them to Ezekiel 36. Read the Bible chapter with them. Take them to John 3, where Jesus said, "You must be born again." But speak to them also of the wonderful works of salvation. The wonderful works of salvation. Open the Bible. The books of Moses, the prophets, Psalms, the Gospels, the Epistles, the letters of John, the whole Bible. Be like Jesus Christ himself. Remember those men to Emmaus? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He opened the Word of God, so to speak, and he preached to them about Jesus Christ himself. Speak to them of the wonderful works of Jesus Christ. Yes, show them the histories. Read about the miracles. And the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, "Believe me for the work's sake." The Lord Jesus did so many wonderful works. Why? That they may set their hope in God, that they may believe in him. The wonderful works of God, the return of the King of Kings in all his glory. Children, he's coming again. Children, we need to be ready. Children, we're going to be divided, sheep or goats. You're going to stand on one side or the other side. And by nature, we're all going to be goats. But we need God's grace to make us sheep. We need to be prepared, children. He's coming. Where will you stand, children? Ask them. Lay it before their hearts. And may the Lord richly bless it. But how are we to teach them? How are we to speak all these things to them? Just at Christmas, read a little Christmas story. Easter, read a little Easter story. And the rest of the year, we just read at mealtimes. And we close the Bible. That's it. No, do it daily, diligently, prayerfully, faithfully. Listen to what we read in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thy rouse rises up." So, all day. Do you work with water? Speak to them. Use an example. See, children, you see that water? You need the water of life, that you become thirsty for God. Are you a farmer? Show them through the seeds. Show them through the plants of that fruit that must be in their lives. Are you a teacher? Teach them all things. And there's so many other examples. Fathers, may I say it this way? Soak them. Soak them with the Bible. You will never regret it. I regret I didn't do it enough. You will never regret it. You can never do this too much. No. And it's a promise. A promise. But why? Why does God command us as fathers to speak of the wonderful works, the praises of God, of his strength? Why? Children, you receive an education for a purpose. Teenagers, older ones, you go to university, colleges for a purpose. Adults, sometimes we take courses for a purpose. We are taught for a purpose. There's a purpose. And the Almighty Triune God commands fathers, mothers too, but this morning we're speaking especially to fathers, to instruct. It's a command to office bearers. It's a command to teachers, parents, mothers, but especially fathers. Why? God blesses the means by the power of the Holy Spirit for His glory and for His almighty name, for the glory of the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's first and foremost all for the glory and the honor of God. Listen to what we read in Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why? What's the purpose? What does ignorance lead to, parents, congregation, single ones? What does ignorance lead to? Ignorance destroys thousands, millions. Think of the millions in this world who never, ever have heard of the Word of God, who have never heard of that only name, Jesus Christ. God gave you and me a child or children for us to teach them of the wonderful works of God, of His excellencies and of His strength. God has put His name on your child, and yes, they need more. That's true. But yet, He is separate. What a responsibility to have a child with God's name on his forehead. Fathers, are your children being destroyed for the lack of knowledge? Of lack of knowledge? Who is specifically called to speak to your children? Well, we'll send them to the school. We'll send them to catechism classes. Good. But no, it begins in our homes, fathers. Fathers, you need to speak. You need to speak. Are you doing your utmost, fathers, to have a better business, better job, more money, more this, more this, more that? And are you neglecting to take time to instruct and to teach your children, to tell your children of the praises of the Lord, of His strength and of His wonderful works? May God give that fathers this morning in Cortland would truly repent, go home and beg the Lord for forgiveness and begin. And maybe you say, I don't even know how to begin. You have the Bible. Open the Bible and read. Read Bible stories. Use the simple, most blessed means that you may have in your homes for a purpose, for the glory of God and for the salvation of your children. Why? So that they would not be, as we read in verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a regeneration that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Why? Why does God command father to this? Why? What do we read in verse 7? That set their hope in God. Children, may I ask you, do you have hope? Children, do you have hope? Do you? Or you say it's just hopeless. It's all dark. There's no hope. Children, there's hope. There's hope. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's wicked times, but there's hope. Why? Because God is living. God is on the throne. God is living. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, there's hope. And where can we have hope? How does the Lord work hope? Faith in Him. How? Through the means, through the Word. Fathers, they need to hear the Word. Not only in church, not only in school, in catechism, but in your home. In your home. Your children need true and saving faith and a triune God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. They need to hear the Word, because God, through the Word, works faith. You say, but faith is a gift. I can't give it. I understand. True. You say faith is by free sovereign grace. Very true. You say it's impossible for me to give them faith. Very true. But does it excuse you to obey the command of God? No. Can you make yourself grow, children? Can you? Can you make yourself grow? You can't. You can't. You can't make yourself grow. But God gives means to grow. What does He give? He gives food. He gives food so that we may grow. Right? And we would never say, well, God needs to make me grow. I'm not going to eat food. God will do it. No, we use the means. Because it's God's means that we can grow. God gave us, fathers, mothers, congregation, the means of grace. And God promises to bless the means of grace. Faith cometh by hearing the word. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mothers, fathers, tell your children, especially you fathers, of the prophet, priest, and king, the word of God, the law, and the gospel, begging him for help to do it, confessing your sin and all your shortcomings, and asking him to bless the word by the power of the Holy Spirit to your heart and to the hearts of your children, so that they may set their hope in God. Ponder that. Ponder that today. And think of your command by God, fathers. What is the purpose? They set their hope in God, and forget not the works of God. Tell them so that they hear it. Help them to understand to the best of your ability. Yes, I know we need the work of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But tell them, explain it, so that they may meditate upon it, that they may dwell upon it, so that they may remember his praises, his strength, and his wonderful works. Not knowing the works of God leads to continual sin, unbelief, and wickedness, and rebellion. Open your Bible, please, to Judges 2. We'll read the history of the Israelites. Judges 2, verse 10 and 12. Judges 2, verse 10 and 12. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. So how did it start? How did it start? Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. God wanted the Israelite fathers to tell them that history of Psalm 78, of all those wonderful works of God, so that they would set their hope in God and not forget his works, and that they would only worship and adore him, and that he would not see his covenant children, those Israelites, that he had separated, bowing to the idols of the world. God sees your children, fathers. He sees my children. Are your children serving other gods because you do not proclaim to them the wonderful works of God? They don't think about it. They don't meditate it because it's never entered into their ears. May we be given repentance, congregation, myself included, repentance. And that we may do this with the utmost of our power, looking, begging for God to bless it. Why does God command fathers to do this? That the children may set their hope in God and not forget his wonderful works and keep his commandments. So what's the purpose? All for the glory of God. That's why God created your children, that they would live praising him every day, joyfully obeying him, serving him. And God, by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, upon the covenant promise, upon the merits of Jesus Christ, works in children by the means. And they begin in this life a little something of that praising. And they begin a little something of that meditating the work of God. And they begin a little obedience in the commandments. It's all for God, for the glory of God. But let's turn back to Psalm 78, verse 4. A contrast in this verse. There's a contrast. We read, not to hide. And the contrast is showing to the generation. What does it mean to hide something, children? Well, you cover it up and you can't see it. Or there's information. Your parents hide information from you, so you do not hear it, so you do not know it. It's hidden. It's concealed. It's not shared. So hiding. not to hide. But fathers are called showing, revealing. That means simply using the word of God and sharing, depending upon the Holy Spirit to reveal it to their hearts and to their souls. Are you neglecting? Are you hiding from your children? Are you? Am I? Are we hiding? Hiding the praises of the Lord? Are you hiding His strength, His glories? Are you hiding, covering, neglecting to do as you're called to do of the wonderful works of God? Is this the cause that your son, your daughter is living in the world, maybe in church or out of church? Is this the reason your children, my children, are forgetting the works of God, have no hope in God, and are rebellious and their hearts aren't right? Are we a cause, Father? Are we hiding? What's sin? What's sin? We're sinful. I'm a sinful father. We're sinful fathers. But may we show them. May we say, children, come. Let's sit for 5 minutes. Let's sit for 10 minutes. Let's just open the Word of God. Let's listen about His excellencies. Let's listen to who He is. Let's listen to who we are, of His Word. Let's listen of that only way of salvation, of the wonderful works of God, of creation and of salvation, that our children may set their hope in God by the blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit. Fathers, you will die one day. You will die one day. And one day we'll be gathered. Your children, my children, will be gathered before that throne. What would it be if your child says, "But Daddy, you never told me. You never told me. I did not know. You never told me." How horrible. How horrible. But there's hope. Repent. Flee. Beg for forgiveness. And begin today looking and depending upon Him and the power of the Holy Spirit. May God give in this church God-fearing fathers, God-fearing parents, and that our children may be blessed by the means, not only in the public worship service, but also in our homes. May God give repentance in Cortland, and that fathers may begin to faithfully, diligently obey, as we heard this morning, and that the almighty, covenant, faithful Jehovah would work irresistibly with His free and sovereign grace, and that fathers may be led to repentance, and that Bibles may be opened, knees may become bent, mouths opened, hearts opened, and a family we desire to follow His commandments. Oh, may we beg that Almighty God to work mightily, irresistibly for His glory and for the children, for the coming generation, that they may be blessed children, and that we may be fathers like this poet, hearts touched, renewed by that power of the Holy Spirit, and that it must flow out, and that children may have ears to hear, and that they go into their hearts. Blessed fathers, blessed families, blessed children, upon that blessed, free, and sovereign grace of God, upon the blood of Jesus Christ, that our children may set their hope in God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we stand guilty before Thee, all of us. We all have the same name as fathers, sinful. We all have the same name as a mother, sinful. Grandparents, singles, children. We need Thy grace, Lord. We need forgiveness, also, according to what we've heard in this morning. And we beg Thee and pray Thee that Thou would work mightily, irresistibly. Give faithful fathers, fathers in our homes, that may open Thy word and speak, and that Thou would bless it, that our children may set their hope in Thee, Lord. May we ask Thee Do it for thy great name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the salvation of our dear children. Keep us in this day, Lord. Again we lay before thee the mourning family. Comfort them with thyself, Lord. Have mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 16, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O heart of thanksgiving, to thee will I bring, and praise of thy marvelous deeds I will sing. And thee I will join, and exultantly cry, thy name I will praise, O Jehovah Most High. Psalter 16, standing, stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.